such love and sorrow meet, and thorns compose so rich a crown. Were the whole realm of nature all mine, that would be an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so demands my soul, my life, my all. I hope that hit you. I hope that hit you somewhere. I'm convinced from my own experience, my own life, many conversations I've had with people, that as many years as many of us have been in church, youth group, Sunday school, Bible study, jail group, Highland, I'm convinced that although we've seen what we just saw, we haven't seen what we just saw. We haven't heard what we just saw. And so my prayer today is that the Lord will give us spiritual eyes, that we'll see the cross, we'll see the suffering that Jesus Christ endured with the eyes and ears of our heart. And I wish I could say that in a way that wasn't cliche. I just wish I could, like, keep it 100%. But that was me for a long time. A lot of you guys know my story. Went to foster care right before I was 4 years old. And gratefully, I was taken in by Christ followers. So I heard the story of Jesus dying on the cross for years and years and years. But one day, I heard, one day I saw. And if you've never heard, never saw, it's okay. But I pray that today you hear and you see. So the message that I'm privileged to deliver today is not merely evangelistic. When we talk about Jesus Christ dying on the cross, our minds tend to transition and say, oh, I'm saved. I gave my life to Jesus. I said the prayer. I was at the conference when everybody came down. I was at the church. I got baptized, but I want to hit you with something. If this story is true, this gospel is real, then there should be something on the inside of us that is touched every time we hear it. Amen. So I'm really excited about today, episode 12, The Darkest Hour. And I want to say before I get going, usually the speaker, pastor, preacher, whoever, saves the invitation for the end. But I want to just go ahead and let you know, I want to invite you, that if there's something on the inside moving on the outside, I want to invite you. We're going to have leaders down here to your right. At any point in the remainder of the gathering, if you want to express the cry of your heart and you want to talk with somebody, pray with somebody, you want someone to listen to you, I want to invite you. You can do that right here anytime. And if you want some time just to yourself, you and the Lord, you can do that right here. We'll know not to mess with you. Family, you just encountered the greatest and truest story ever told. A story fitting to be told to the very young, to the very old. The story has conjured hymns from the heart like Nate Huff's Lambs Amongst Wolves, Make Us Bold. Unfortunately, the trend is to water this story down and mix it with sugar. But so help me God, today I'm breaking that mold. You see, in all actuality, the truth is so much stranger and greater than fiction. At least when we're talking about my God, who's light years beyond our very best depiction. So there's no need to embellish or exaggerate the God-man and his mission. Today, nothing but the truth, the whole truth, is the basketball. And point guard is my position. So get your hands up and your heart ready to meditate on them nails and that crown. I'm going to tell you how the Savior's blood can turn any frown upside down. Oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. Them jokers ain't nowhere to be found. Believing the story might get you clowned, but I'm a living testimony. It'll turn your whole life around. Martin Luther King wrote that. I'm just kidding. How many know that the cross of Jesus Christ has the power to change everything in your life? How many know that? How many know that when you come to the cross and you understand that the cross is really crosshairs, like when you're looking through a rifle or a water gun, if some of y'all are scared of guns, and you see the crosshairs, the cross is the point of impact for every human being on the planet. I'm told very often, Jazz, you're nice, you're friendly, but you're closed-minded. I said, man, I'm not closed-minded. I'm willing to hear anything you got to say. I will think about it. I'll meditate on it. I'll pray on it. But what I found to be true in Jesus Christ, I'm not sure you can convince me otherwise. I'm willing to try it. But every day, Jesus Christ gets truer and truer, and his love gets deeper and deeper. So before I give you what I want you to leave with today, I want to encourage you. I hope you hear me. Hear me, okay? Don't just listen. Hear me. We've been talking about with the church that it's our job. We want to help you take the next step, okay? Pastor Shannon, I want you to take the next step. And I know you want me to take the next step. In my journey with Christ, nobody's arrived. When we get to heaven in glory, we won't have arrived. Because our Lord is inexhaustible. You feel what I'm saying? He's so deep. He's so rich. You couldn't find the depths of his love using sonar, okay? And so what I'm saying is, today I want you to savor the depth and the beauty of the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, I know some of you in here, if you were like me, maybe not even too long ago, I understood, yeah, Jesus, the cross, sin, heaven, but I didn't have the dots connected. So I'm hoping that today, by the time we walk up out this mug, some dots will get connected. And if the dots are already connected and you understand the gospel, you understand why Jesus died on the cross, I'm praying you will take the next step in your journey, because there's always more, amen? I said there's always more, amen? So I got five things that I want you to get out of this. Y'all know what type of preacher I am. I'm gonna hit you with boom, 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 boom. And then I'm also tell you, I hope you brought your notebook. Raise your hand if you brought your Bible, by the way. Your copy of God's word, okay? It don't have to be a paper copy. It can be a digital. By show of hands, man, who brought your notebook or something to write on? If you didn't, hope you got a good memory, okay? But we wanna encourage you. Let's take the next step. So Father, I just thank you for this opportunity and this privilege. Lord, it's impossible to capture the totality of your love and your grace and your power and your providence and your sovereignty. But Lord, I just pray that what was depicted today, you would use that to ring truth and love in somebody's heart up in here, Lord. I pray that nobody in this whole building, talking Sean, talking Alec, talking Bobby, talking Grammy, I'm talking Phil, Maggie, myself, Pastor Shannon, Pastor Jason, Scott. Lord, I'm praying that nobody will leave this building the same way we came, but that we would get our eyes fixed on Christ in such a way that we would love and follow him more. That's my prayer, and I pray it in the beautiful name of Jesus Christ, and everybody say it. Amen. All right. Is Jesus Christ good? I'm sorry to blow it, but next episode, he is coming out the grave. How many knew that? How many knew that? Okay, that's when you say amen, hallelujah. Hallelujah, that's right. He's coming out, but I got to stick in episode 12 right now, okay? That's what Pastor Shannon told me to do, okay? So check it out. I got five things I want you to get out of this. Five things, and remember, the front is open. Anytime, we got leaders down here. Five things I want you to get. Point number one, look to your neighbor and say, number one, don't miss it. Look to your neighbor and say, it's simple, but it's deep. Check it out. Number one, write it down. Put it in your mind, in your heart, in your soul. Check it out. This story is true. This story is true. I don't know if you realize it. This story is true. Really happened. Check it out. Me and the wifey were at the theater. She, I don't know if she knows. I'm gonna tell on her. We were at the theater watching Toy Story 3. Who's ever seen Toy Story 3? Okay. Y'all remember the part where all the characters are about to get incinerated? Like, they're about to go into the fire, and they're like, ah! And they hold each other's hands like, ah! I looked over, and Maggie was crying. I was like, Maggie, this is a cartoon, man. She was like, it touched me. It touched me. What you just saw might have touched you. And glory be to God, because it's true. Toy Story, that ain't true. If you cried at Toy Story, it's okay, but it ain't true. Who's ever seen Saving Private Ryan? All right, we're getting a little bit closer, because Saving Private Ryan is loosely based on true events, okay? So some of what you see and the way it's depicted, a lot of that is true, but the story itself is made up. How many knew that? So you might have cried on Saving Private Ryan, and for good reason, because there are many men that sacrificed their life and women that sacrificed their life. As a matter of fact, if you know the story of Saving Private Ryan, you know that the story, the plot, is about a woman who had four sons in the military, and three of her sons died. And so the army was very, very reluctant to have to go and tell her that all of her sons died until they found out that one son was still alive, a fourth son was still alive. So what did they do? They sent a troop of eight soldiers to go find Private Ryan. How many knew that? But how many know it wasn't true? But I'm gonna tell you a true story. There's a father this time, and he's got children on the other side behind enemy lines. It's called sin, and the father didn't give up on you. How many know the father didn't give up on you? I rejoice when I think about what the Lord has done in my life. That's why I'm such a loudmouth about Jesus, because I was behind enemy lines, and the father sent somebody to come and rescue me. What was his name? Jesus. What was his name? The father sent somebody to come and rescue you. This is a true story. So if you find yourself crying when Jason fell, enduring the cross for the joy set before him, the scripture says, it's okay, because it's a true story. And the good news is this. All you have to do is reach your hand out, and he'll save you. This is a true story. Amen? I told you it was simple. It was deep. I got to keep going. It's going to get better. Say amen. Amen. Point number two, this story is all about a who. The story is true, and then point number two, it's about a person. The story of God, we started 12 weeks ago. We started in eternity past. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, completely independent of anything else. Perfect fellowship, perfect unity, perfect love. Didn't need anything, but out of the overflow of the love that God was experiencing with himself, he said, you know what? I want to share this. I want to give this away. So what did he do? He created a creation. He made it perfect. He made it good. And he welcomed in others into his joy, into his fellowship. Well, check it out. This one, this who, this Jesus who was to come. Y'all remember the serpent crusher? Y'all remember in episode, I think it was 2 or 3, when Adam and Eve sinned, and the Father, who's holy and just, could have said, man, get out. He could have killed them. Had the right to do it right then. Holy, just, perfect, pure God. Could have killed them. Did he do it? No. He said, man, I'm going to rescue you. Matter of fact, I'm going to use this for more glory. So it's only 2 of y'all right now, but I'm going to say multiply billions of people. So I'm bringing my kingdom back. And so what I want you to know is this: who was on the cross, you got to understand this. It was last episode. Who remembers what the topic of last episode was? Anybody remember? No ordinary man. Listen, you got to get this. Got to get this. Get this. Jesus is God. Now, a couple weeks ago, I guess it was last week, Pastor Shannon had some people walk out during his sermon because that's offensive. You telling me that a man who was a carpenter in Palestine, nowhere in the world, didn't show up in Egypt, didn't show up in Sumer, didn't show up in China where there was advanced technology at that point? Jesus is God? Yes. If you talk to Christopher Hitchens, anybody know who Christopher Hitchens is? He's not around anymore. He's a world-renowned atheist. He wrote a book called God Is Not Great. And cancer took his life, and he's not an atheist anymore. I can promise you that. No, I don't mean to say that in a funny way. My heart grieves. He went to the grave not knowing Jesus Christ. Hardened atheist. He would tell you that if Jesus ever lived, he was just a man and an imposter. Muslims will tell you that Jesus was just a prophet, that he was just a servant of Allah. He had no power in and of himself. He was just a man. As a matter of fact, Muslims say he didn't even die on the cross. It was made to appear that he died on the cross. Jehovah's Witnesses will tell you, well, Jesus is the Son of God. He was the first creation that God ever created. But he's not God. He's not worthy to be worshipped. But I'm here to tell you that the scripture is very clear. The man you saw depicted on the cross is God veiled in human flesh. That's when you say amen. Because if Jesus isn't God and you raise your hand to sing songs to him, you're that's idolatry. But the scriptures are very clear. Follow me. If you're with me, say yes. Genesis 1:26, the scripture says, let us make man in our image. First glimpse of the triunity, the multiplicity within the Godhead right there in the first book of what we call the Bible. Philippians 2, verse 5, one of my favorite scriptures in the whole world. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the very form of God, he didn't regard equality with God something to be grasped or clung to. But what did he do? He humbled himself, taking the form of a servant and being made in the likeness of man and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Now, I'm going to explain that. I'm going to get to this in point number 4, but even death on a cross. Why didn't Jesus show up to pay for sins in the year 2000? Well, he could have got off easy and got a lethal injection. Why did he show up 2,000 years ago? When the Romans, having adopted crucifixion from the Persians, many say that this is the worst form of capital punishment ever devised. Why would God step into humanity and into time and space and put on a real body and real flesh and take real spike nails in his hands and in his feet and a real crown of thorns on his head and a real spear in his side? Why would he do that then? I'm going to get to that. He said, even death on a cross, and for this reason. Say, for this reason. Also, God highly exalted him and bestowed him on him the name which is above every other name, so that the name of Jesus every knee will bow, and those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Say, Lord. That means boss man. That means he's the man, the God man, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus speaking to the Pharisees. This is no ordinary man. You with me? Say yes. Jesus speaking to the Pharisees. Many people say, well, if Jesus was God, if he was not just a prophet, why didn't he make it clear? I'm going to tell you, and you definitely want to write this down if you don't already have this in your heart. Speaking to the Pharisees, John 8:58, you probably know what he said. Speaking about Abraham. They say, you think you're greater than Abraham? He says, man, before Abraham was, before he ever came into existence, I am. Which means I've always existed. It's the name of God. I am Yahweh. Jesus was claiming to be God. Then lastly, John 20:28, after Jesus had resurrected, we're getting to that next week. Look to your neighbor and say, it's coming. After he had resurrected, his disciple Thomas, who had doubted him, Jesus shows up. And Thomas is like, man, I can't believe it. I just got to put my hand in his hands, and my hand in his side. And when he did it, Jesus is like, it's your boy. I said I was coming back, right? And Thomas says, my Lord and my prophet. It's not what he said. He said, my Lord and my angel. It's not what he said. Anybody know what he said? My Lord and my God. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, you're right, I'm no ordinary man. Blessed are you. You said that because you saw me. But blessed are those, like the people in the year 2012 at Highland Christian Church, who didn't see me. Blessed are they who believe and don't have to see. Jesus is no ordinary man. Amen? Point number three. I wish I could spend a whole sermon on all of these. Point number three. You with me? Say yes. The story is not only true. The story is not only about a who, a person, but the story is all about a why. Say why. How many of you guys got kids out there? All right. I've worked with kids. I've been an educator for 12 years now. And I've learned that anytime I tell a kid anything, what's the question they're going to ask? Why, man? Why? The story is about a why. And I want you to ask yourself, why did Jesus die the way he died? Why did Jesus come to a cross? And I find this is a very relevant question with many people, especially in our culture in Asheville, because you talk with many people and they say the gospel of Jesus is just to love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus taught that, right? But is that the gospel? Did Jesus come and die and take 39 lashes on his back? Did Jesus endure the cross, be humiliated, beard pulled out, spit upon, Almighty God humbling himself? Did Jesus do that when all you had to do was be a good person and go to heaven? If all you have to do is be a good person to go to heaven and treat your neighbor as yourself, then Jesus wasted his own blood. You follow me? I don't know if everybody in here gets this, because I talk to too many people. I talk to people in this church. I say, man, when you stand before God, why is he going to accept you into his kingdom? I go to church. My daddy was a preacher. I go to Highland. I pay my tithes. I'm there every Sunday, except in the summer. The answer must be in this man, in this God man. This story, this gospel, the story of God is about a why. Why did Jesus come and shed his blood? Point number four, I'm going to tell you why. Point number four, you ready to say yes? Yes. Jesus died on the cross, I can put it simply, to save us from our sins. Now, I know a lot of you guys are good Sunday school students, and if I said, why did Jesus die on the cross? To save us from our sins. Jonathan and I, Jonathan, you here, say, yeah, yeah. Okay, I was about to say, man, I'll have to give you a call after church. Jonathan and I, we were successful at having a conversation with another team of missionary, Mormon missionaries. And as some of you guys might know, I'm on the ban list with Mormon missionaries. They're not allowed to meet with me anymore. I'm telling the truth. Not allowed to meet with me anymore. And but fortunately, this group of Mormon missionaries are from Hendersonville, and we told them that my name was Remar, which is my middle name. I'm pretty sure they're going to find out, though, because they asked for one of my CDs, and it's got Jazzy on the front. So, and while we're talking, Jonathan is steady calling me, hey, Jazz, say the Jazz. I'm like, Jonathan, I'm Remar, bro. I'm Remar. Nonetheless, Jonathan and I are meeting in a neighborhood in South Asheville with these Mormon missionaries, and as we're waiting on them to come, we run into some kids, and I see the kids, and I say, man, I guarantee you can't beat me in rock, paper, scissors, shoot. And the dude was like, man, I'm a champ. I said, I'm the heavyweight champ in this city. So we start playing. Jonathan and I get to share the gospel with these kids, right? Well, these kids had the textbook answer. I say, do you know why Jesus died on the cross? To pay for our sins. And I say, But when you stand before God, why is he going to accept you in his kingdom? I don't know. So they got the textbook answer, but they didn't understand. I want you to understand. If you're with me, say yes. Here's why Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. And it's very, very simple. God is holy. You've heard me say it before, but I don't think I could say it enough. God is holy. He's good. How many know God is good? That means God has a plan for his people. Amen? That means when people step outside of that plan, it grieves the Father's heart. How many know that? Okay. Well, we got this creator. He's good. He's perfect. He's infinitely morally upright. And then you got his people who, just like the crowd in the group, it was funny because I was backstage. I don't know if I'm supposed to tell these secrets or if that matters. I was backstage, and I saw Miss Michelle. She goes off, and she's smiling. She's smiling because she had just said, "Hosanna, Hosanna. Hey, man, save us, Lord." She goes off stage. She comes back around. She joins the Pharisees. What does she say? "Crucify him. Crucify him." And we like to think that we're in the Hosanna group. We like to think that we're, "Lord, save us. Hallelujah. I went to church on Sunday." But when we rebel against the Father and we sin, the Father being a just God, he must punish sin. Now, I'm in church. I'm in my church. And I know a bunch of people just got mad at me. Why he always got to talk about sin, man? Why can't we just talk about love and community? Okay? But we're on episode 12. You don't always have to talk about sin, but we got to talk about it today. Amen? So God is holy. What are the angels saying? You peek in Isaiah 6. Write this down since I don't guess it's going to be on the screen. Isaiah 6, verse 3. What are the angels saying right now? God showed Isaiah a vision of the heavenlies. What are the angels saying up in heaven right now? Holy. What did they say? Holy. John sees the same vision in Revelation. This is hundreds and hundreds of years later. What did he see the angel saying up in heaven? Holy, holy. Adam and Eve sinned. And God had to address that sin, right? Okay? Then mankind sins, multiplies in their sin. The Bible says that there's violence all over the earth and that the very imagination of mankind was corrupt. And so God floods the whole world because he's what? Holy. We get all the way up to David. David sins, kills a woman's husband. God had to punish his sin, right? We could go on down the line, down the line, down the line. We get to 2012, and what do we think? Oh, God is just love. God ain't holy. God loves me. He does love you, but he's also what? Holy, and we've got to understand that in order to understand the gospel. Amen? This is what the scripture says, and you know it. All have sinned. Say all. Spell it. That's right, we got a smart church. All have sinned. And check it out. Romans 3:23 says, and fall short of the glory of God. Did it say, and have fallen? It said fall. What does that mean? That means we got this problem. We keep tripping. We keep getting on the Father's nerve. All have sinned and fall short of God's glory. And now I'm going to tell you how good God is. Because how many of you guys ever had somebody cross you the wrong way, talk about you behind your back? I loaned somebody last Sunday, loaned a brother $10. He told me, "Man, I'm going to be at church. I'm going to pay your money back." This joker ain't nowhere to be found. Okay? How many of this ever happened to somebody? Okay? And we are quick. Are we not quick? Somebody cross you the wrong way, you get one try. Okay, I might give you twice because I'm a Christian. But that third time, what's going to happen? You got to go, bro. Don't call me, don't text me, I don't want to hear from you. But what can we learn from the heart of the Father? The scripture says that all have sinned and what? Fall short of the glory of God. But what did Jesus do? What did God do to demonstrate his love? He died on that cross. Maggie was gone for a whole week with the youth group. I don't know why she keeps doing that to me. Girl, no, I can't cook. She come back, I'm all skinny because I ain't been eating. I miss Maggie, man. So to show her how much I missed her, man, I'm like calling her all the way back from Florida with the youth group. And I was like, man, what can I do to demonstrate that I love Maggie, man? I'm thinking jewelry, flowers, you know, candy, something. Then I was like, no, I'm going to go real crazy. I'm going to go super ham on this. Y'all know what I did? Clean the house. Clean the house. Vacuum. Wash the dishes. Cut the grass. You know why? Because love is a verb. How many know that? Love is a verb. Guess what? God so loved the world that he sit back up in his paradise and say, forget them. They crossed me once. Okay, I'm a good guy. They crossed me twice. Man, that's about it. Crossed me three times. That's it. Send them all to hell. What did God do? He says, man, I'm giving everybody a chance. Matter of fact, you don't have to earn anything. All you have to do is accept it. What did Jesus do to demonstrate his love? Man, he gave his life. This is what Jesus said. He said, man, there is no greater love than when someone gives their life for their friend. And if our husbands up in here can get a hold of this truth, we see a lot of difference in our marriages. How many know that? That's when you say amen. And so point number four, Jesus died to pay for our sins because God is what? Holy. I wish I could spend time, but we had a white church, man. I ain't got no more time. Pastor Shannon, man, what's up? Release your boy, man. Release your boy. Last point, and I'm almost out of here. Look to your neighbor and say, he's almost finished. Look to your other neighbor and say, he about done. Last one, and I got to go home on this one. If you're ready, say yes. This story, this glorious gospel, is true. It's about a person. And it includes you. We just learned that Jesus died on the cross to pay for sins. The last thing I want you to get is he wants to bring you into his kingdom. Now that, I said kingdom, say kingdom. That's foreign to us because we turn on the TV channel and we get tired of looking at homeboy over there in England. They got married and like spent all of that money on that weird looking car and the princess, and we don't really know how to sit inside of that. But fam, we are a part of a kingdom. How many knew that? But there's something, the most important part of a kingdom is not the people. What's the most important part of the kingdom? It's the king. The king is the most important part. And fam, I'm here to tell you, I want to encourage you. We got a lot of people and Jesus is just a homeboy. Jesus is just an example. Jesus Christ is just a figure in the confines of your mind, but I'm here to encourage you that he's a very real king. Amen? And this is what I want you to know. This is what the scripture says. The king's people are designed to live holy, completely devoted to the king. I've been talking for like 27 minutes and I see some eyes wandering. Stick with me for two more minutes. Eyeballs, please, please. Check me out. The scripture says that we are to do everything for the glory of our king. Write this down. 1 Corinthians 10:31. This is how crazy it gets. Paul says, man, whether you're eating or drinking, taking a walk down the sidewalk, taking your kid to the YMCA, playing basketball for Asheville Middle School, being the best assistant program director ever at I Have a Dream, being an incredible friend and mentor who runs his own construction service and hooks his boy up all the time with lunch at Universal Joint. His name is Grady. Whatever you're doing, the scripture says, eating, drinking, whatever you're doing, do for the glory of who? Of God. I'm going to leave you with one last one. 1 Peter 4:11. If you're with me, say yes. The scripture says, do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself was speaking through you. 1 Peter 4:11. Do you have the gift of helping people?
do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do, say everything. Everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Here's an issue in the kingdom. We got a lot of people who have accessed the grace of the king, but we have a small amount of people who are doing everything for the king, who are living their life for the king. And so I just want to encourage you. I'm not preaching at you. I want to encourage you, my people, family. We have too many issues in this city, in this church, in your neighborhood, in my neighborhood, in this world for Christians to be in the kingdom and not living for the king. I don't think you heard me. We need some people living sold out, devoted lives for Jesus Christ. Lukewarm just won't get it. I don't think God is so upset about lukewarm Christians just because he's not getting all the attention. He is God. He is worthy. It does belong to him. But God has got you out here for a reason. Austin, Annie, Mr. John, Jeff, we got a job to do. Jazz can't be the only one sharing the gospel with people he don't know. I can't be the only one. And I know I'm not the only one. Maggie can't be the only one putting up with smelly husbands that come from the gym and get in the bed. God needs some wives to love their husbands to the glory of God, amen? The Father wants some husbands to love their wives when they're getting on their last nerves, amen? The Father is calling Highland Christian Church to go to their schools and neighborhoods and communities and college campuses and workplaces and say, man, I'm dying to myself like Jesus died on the cross. I'm dying to myself. I'm humbling myself, and I'm going to live my life completely to the glory of God. Can I get a witness? So I got to close, and Nate is going to come up. But this is your chance to respond. And we take communion, which just means fellowship. We take this collectively, and this is a way to demonstrate that we say, Lord, I want to take you up on the fact that you're my king. Amen? This is a way to, this is not just bread and water to hold you over till lunch. This is a response. So what I want to invite you to is this. There are people in this room, in this auditorium, who have not committed your life to Jesus Christ. You've heard, you've connected the dots. You've been thinking about it. But I just want to give a gentle invitation and say, if you've never put your trust in Jesus Christ and given him your life and said, man, I'm going to make you my king, today is the day to do that. Don't let the pillow hit your head tonight and not know for sure that heaven is your home, because you can't be good enough to get there. Amen? This is a gift. Why is a gift closed-minded? Why is a gift closed-minded? Why do people tell me, man, you're closed-minded because you're telling me all I have to do is accept Jesus Christ and I'll be saved? Nope, I want to work for it. I want to be a good person. I want to be religious. You're closed-minded. And I'm saying gently to you, fam, if there's somebody in here, man, if you don't know Christ as Savior and King, I want to invite you to put your faith in Jesus Christ and give him your life. And then also, if you're a Christian and you've been tripping, you know there's some areas in your life and in your heart that you have not been surrendering to the King. You haven't been living your life solely and wholly devoted to the one who came, endured the cross for the joy set before him. You know the joy that was set before him was you. You haven't been living your life to the glory of God. You've been tripping. You've been doing your own thing, satisfying your own pleasures, not recognizing that this one who came fits perfectly in your heart like Iron Man. Took some time, but then he figured it out. That's what you've been looking for. So, fam, this is an invitation to you as well. And maybe you can do that in your seat. There's no formula. But if you want somebody to talk to and you say, man, I want to take a step today. And I want to say, man, I know he didn't give his life the way he gave it for me to go 50%. Oh, hallelujah. And that was me one day. That was me. Man, you didn't take those spike nails in your hands on my behalf for me to live for myself. Maybe that's your heart. And if it is, I want to invite you to take the Lord up on his offer. His grace is free. He ain't mad at you. He wants you back. So as Nate plays the song, there are stations around here at the front. And I want to encourage you to, if you put your faith in Christ, take that bread and remember what you saw. Take that juice and remember what you saw. And if you're not a Christ follower, we want to say pause on that. You can just observe. If you want to talk with somebody, I'm down here. Pastor Shannon's down here. Elder Michael and Elderess down here. Other jail leaders are down here. So I just want to say I love you, man. I pray that the love of Christ consumes the heart of God's people in this church. The Lord is after you. He's after you. I just pray that you'll let him catch you. Heavenly Father, I thank you that your story is true. Thank you that this is not fiction. I thank you that your scripture says, man, that you come in power and in demonstration. And I thank you that I'm just one of many testimonies in this community who've been touched by your forgiving love. Lord, I'm praying for people who have disregarded the blood, disregarded the love demonstrated on the cross. I pray that today you would just be drawing the hearts of your people, Lord. Lord, I also just want to lift up those in this room who have been apathetic. The gospel, Jesus Christ, simply rearranges the schedule on Sunday. Lord, I pray that there would be people in here that would say, I'm ready to go all out. I'm ready to get connected with some people that can encourage me and hold me accountable. I'm going to stop staying in the shadows where it's comfortable. Lord, and I'm going to get close enough to somebody where I can smell that they're human beings. And I'm going to have to actually exercise one of these one another commands. I'm going to have to actually forgive. I have to actually serve somebody. Lord, and I'm praying for those in here as well that know you, that are following you with all their heart, Lord. I pray that you reveal to them what the next step looks like. Lord, I pray that no one in here thinks or feels like they've arrived. Lord, I just pray that you will reveal to every heart, every soul, every mind, your purpose and your plan for their life. And that's first and foremost anchored and centered in you. Then I pray that you would help us to see our responsibility as Christ followers. What's the next step look like? So Lord, I'm lifting up husbands, wives, families, marriages, people who have come out of marriages and broken relationships and divorces, abortions, Lord, pornography, masturbation, idolatry, commitment to self, commitment to money, commitment to success, commitment to school, Lord, and I pray that you would come in and you would reign supreme in our hearts. So Lord, I just thank you for using a broken vessel like me to brag on a Lord that's so worthy. So this day, Lord, we commit to you. And as we respond, Lord, by taking of the bread and the juice, I pray that you would be at work in our hearts and you would have your way. We love you. We need you. We give you all the glory and all the praise and the honor. To you be all glory, power, dominion. So may you give us the grace to follow you well. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.